David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouths. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in the house of God and give you glory and give you praise, Father, and give you honor. Father, we're here for you, Father. We're here to open our hearts and mind, Lord, and to receive all that you have for us as the body of Christ, as the church of the living God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you have equipped us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and that you have given us everything that we have need of, Lord, in order to live a victorious life here on this earth in this lifetime. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, and some of the things you've given us, Lord, the ability to praise you, Lord, regardless of the circumstances that we're facing, that we can praise ourselves out of every situation because it sets our eyes, it sets our focus on you, Lord, of who you are, Lord, and the things that you've already done for us, Father. And it just reaffirms, Lord, our faith that what you have done for others, you can do for us as well. And Lord, that your promises are yes and amen to them that believe. And Lord, we are believers. We believe your word, Father. We trust your word, Father. And therefore, Lord, we will see the manifestations, Father, of everything that you have promised to us, Father. We thank you, Lord, the greatest act of our obedience as people of God is to believe you, to believe in your word, to believe that everything that Jesus has done was for us, the church. So we thank you for that, and we receive everything by faith, and the people of God say,
amen,
amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Elizabeth. Well, lift up your Bibles, and let's make our declaration this morning. And repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to hear and I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, supernatural, ever-living seed of God's word. Today I'm about to be transformed. Change is about to take place because my mind is about to be renewed. Therefore, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. It's all about transformation. It's all about change. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me to your Bibles in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 11. And this morning we are continuing with our series, which is entitled The Name of Jesus. Everybody say the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we started on this journey a few weeks ago. We learned that as believers we have inherited the name of Jesus, right? Remember that? And then part two, we went into there's victory in the name of Jesus. And part three was there is authority in the name of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be talking about how the name of Jesus belongs to us as the church. And, you know, as a pastor, my prayer is that you have been allowing this truth to get rooted deep down into your heart and your spirit. Amen? Because that's where actually the change will occur, right? In your hearts and then to your minds. By which, when it gets down in your heart and spirit, you begin to understand as a believer the spiritual authority that you have been given as a Christian, as a believer. And by exercising our faith in accessing and using the name of Jesus. Praise God. You know, we have to realize that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to this earth 2,000 years ago, right? God in the flesh, God incarnated, right? God in the flesh, Jesus came. God the Son came here on this earth in the flesh. Praise God. And he came to this earth as a gift from God to the world. Whether the world or humanity realizes that Jesus was a gift to this world. Because this world was in a mess, right? Because of what Adam did. So we live in a world that is fallen short from the glory of God, from God's best. God's best for this world was that God would have predominance in our lives. But because sin entered into the world, it separated man from his creator. Amen? So Jesus came as a gift to humanity. And whether all humanity realizes it, Jesus is the greatest gift that mankind has ever received. Can you say amen? Now just saying, okay, don't take this literally. I'm just saying, if you and I are met and we forgot about each other, we really haven't lost anything in a sense. But here's the thing, if you meet Jesus Christ and have an encounter with him and you forget about him, then you've lost everything. Praise God. You know, there's a story, there's an account in Mark chapter 10, verses 17. There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and says, good teacher, how can I inherit life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one that you call good, which is the Father, right? Then he told the young man, do you keep the commandments? You know, do you honor your mother and father? Do you not commit adultery? You know, all of these things Jesus began to tell him. And the young man says, you know, I've kept them since a young age. And Jesus says, oh, great. And the Bible says Jesus loved this man. And he says, there's one thing that you lack. You've done all these things, but there's one thing that is missing in your life. And he tells this young man, go and sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and therefore you will have great wealth in heaven. And the Bible says the young man turned away very grieved because he was very wealthy. Right? Here you have a young man who's asking life himself, how can I inherit life? And here he's talking to Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And he walks away sad. And Jesus tells his disciples, you know, it's harder for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of God instead of a camel. It is much easier for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And what Jesus was saying was that it's not so much that he's against wealth, but sometimes wealth, right? He's not against us having wealth, right? As long as wealth don't have us. And apparently his riches had this young man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you have an encounter with Jesus and you forget about him, you lose everything. Praise God. You know, as Jesus being the greatest gift, it's not only because of what Jesus did, right? How many of you know Jesus did a lot for us? Through his death, right? His death, right? His burial, his resurrection. Everything that Jesus did was for the church, for us, for humanity, right? When you look at Jesus' life, right, he became sin. God the Son, who had no sin, right? He lived a sinless life, but he became sin for each and every one of us. You know, and every day I thank God, you know, that Jesus, you were my sin bearer. You took my place. Praise God. Yeah. So through his death, burial, and resurrection, you know, we thank and praise God for that. But also, what he gave to us, to the church, through his name. Amen. His name, the name of Jesus. We have eternal life through this name. How many of you saved? born again. You didn't get saved through a denomination. You didn't get saved through an apostle creed. You didn't get saved based on a denominational doctrine. You got saved, you receive eternal life by calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. Right? So through his name, he's given us his name. We have eternal life. We have salvation. Right? We have healing. We have all authority. We have all power that is in his name. Isn't that wonderful? And that is the most powerful and life-changing truth that we can ever know as believers. That we have his name. He has given us his name. He has given us the power of attorney to use his name. All right? You know, in biblical times, people place great importance on a name. Why? Because it defined their character and nature. You know, when God blessed us with a granddaughter, he gave us her name. What was that? 3 months. Right? Before my daughter even knew what kind of gender she was carrying, the Lord says, she's having a girl. And this is what you're going to name her. He said, name her Joy. And you know, Joy lives up to her character, her nature. Every morning she's standing in there, you know, we gotta walk quietly out the door, because once she hears the door open, she's up, she's looking, who's that, right? And when she sees you, she's like, she has this big smile, and it's like, come get me, I'm ready for the day. I mean, such joy, right? How can you not resist? And when I go up here, she grabs my shirt and says, I'm up. She wants to climb up, you know? So names, you know, it defines a person's character, his nature. And Jesus' name defines the relationship that we have with him and the relationship that he has with us as well. Amen. His name in Hebrew, the name Jesus in Hebrew, is Joshua, which literally means God is salvation. Interesting. So when the angel came to Gabriel and told him, this is what you're going to name this baby, this boy. You're going to call him Jesus or Joshua. For he will save his people from their sins. Amen. And his name sums up everything which he came to do in this world, which only Jesus could do. How many of you know you're not savior to anybody? You and I cannot save anybody, but we can point them to who can. Amen. My anointing as pastor is not to save anyone, a savior. But it's to let them know that there is a Savior that can save you. Amen. And that's Jesus, right? Jesus, God, my God, who is salvation. So his name sums up which he came to do in this world, which was only Jesus could do. And as Savior, Jesus came to rescue and deliver humanity from the consequences and the grip of sin. Praise God. Let me repeat that again. Jesus came to rescue and deliver humanity from the consequences and the grip of sin. Interestingly, I find that most Christians, they don't really hate their sin in their lives. They just fear the consequences of sin. Think about that. Jesus also came not only as Savior, but he came as the divine physician, the healer, praise God, to heal bodies and souls of all men. Aren't you glad? Boy, his name has power over sin. His name has power over sickness. His name has power over disease. His name has power over your finances. Praise God. His name has power over your relationships. His name has power over demons and death itself. Jesus said in Revelation, I am he that liveth and was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, right? But I have the keys of hell and of death. The one who has the keys has the authority. And Jesus has the authority. All authority, both in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And notice what he does with that authority, that power of attorney. He gives it to the church. He gives it to you and I, that you also can walk on this earth with the power and the authority in Jesus' name to exercise your spiritual authority. Amen? You know, one of the things that we target, and I know Scott has it, is that we target our communities in our prayer time, our communities, right? Our churches, our church and churches as a whole, and our country. And one of the things on our community we target is that our schools or any public place will not have any kind of terroristic event that occur. Amen. We're praying these things, that these things are not going to happen here. Because why? Because we're taking spiritual authority over these demons, these terrorizing demons that would try. And don't ever think, oh, you know what? It won't happen here. A lot of the places that did have shootings, people said, you know what? We didn't think it would happen here. But it did. So we are preparing ourselves, not in fear, but we're saying, devil, you ain't going to come here and cause that kind of things here. We forbid it. Just like we don't allow hurricanes to come here, because there's people of God sitting here that stand up and say, you know what? Who knows their authority, who exercise their spiritual authority, knows the name of Jesus, and speaks to these things and said, you ain't coming here. We experienced that last year, right? A category 4 hurricane. Amen. Christians gather together and says, we ain't having it here. So if we do our part, exercise our authority, God will do his part. He's saying, wow, that's my kids. They're using my name. Go for it. Do it. Amen. And that's why we're learning the name of Jesus. You know, God has given to us his only begotten Son, the Son of his love. And with the Son of his love, he gave us his name to the church. Praise God. Now, when somebody says, you can use my name, you sincerely hope that that name is worth using. Or, you know, you go to a place, hey, so-and-so said, I can use his name. Oh, yeah, really? Where is he? The guy owed me money. Right? So we got to make sure that the name that we're using is worth using. Yeah. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, when an order is given in the name of the President of the United States, whether an order is given to Mike Pompeo, you know, the Secretary of State, or given to William Barr, the Attorney General, you know, when the President gives these men who works for him an order, they are obligated to obey it, right, as the President. Now, if I was to even try to issue an order in the White House, Herman Haubu, you say, who is this? This guy? They're not going to honor that request or that issue that I'm giving them, right? Because my name has no official authority behind it. Praise God. A name, of course, implies much more than identification, but it carries with it authority, reputation, and power. And that's what the name of Jesus, or the President, his name carries the reputation, authority, and power to his chief of staffs. And just as the name of Jesus carries authority and reputation and power to the believer, right? To the believer. Now listen, every born-again believer, how many of you are born again? If you're born again, then you have the right and the privilege. It's a privilege of using the name of Jesus. You know, the early church in the book of Acts, if you read it, the early church believers, they knew and they understood what they had. And they took full advantage and used the name of Jesus. The question is, shouldn't we also as the church, right? And you think about it, and yet you have religious people who still think, because they're religious, they still think and say that it was just for the early church and not for us. My thought is, what Bible are you reading? Right? Now, if that was true, if that was just for the early church, then the name of Jesus does not belong to us, right? And if we do not have the name of Jesus, then we can say that no one has been born again to this day, if that's what they claim. But it's not true, because Acts chapter 4, verse 12 declares, "For there is no other name, there's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which a person can be saved." There's no salvation apart from the name of Jesus, right? So that theory is not true. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, everyone, or whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Anyone, whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. John 20, verse 31 declares, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Notice that salvation is in his name, life is in his name. So to say that this was only for the early church and the early church believers is not true. Because I'm saved, you're saved. The power of God is still working, right, in your life. So we are evidence that the name of Jesus is still at work in our lives. Praise the Lord. But you know, we thank God that there is salvation in the name. Yet there's even more than salvation in the name. That name still enwraps the power and all the majesty and all the glory it ever did. Have you been exercising your faith in the name of Jesus? Yeah? In fact, even your prayer, you know, Jesus says when you pray, pray to the Father in my name, right? You haven't asked him anything, but when you ask him, when you come to him, ask him in my name, and he shall give you whatsoever you say. Notice that. He gives us the protocol on how to see your prayers to be answered, right? Ask the Father in my name. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading from the Passion Bible, and we're going to read from verse 6. Let's see, verse 6 to verse 8. So if you don't have a passion, just listen. He existed in the form of God, right? The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And this Word, Jesus, became flesh. So Jesus always was, right? So he existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He emptied himself of his divinity, right? His glory. in order to come here in the flesh as a human. God the Son, right? He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, notice that, because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. Notice that. Because of his obedience, you know, the Father probably told Jesus, you know, Jesus, the world is in a turmoil. And we need to set things right. Would you be willing to go and be a sacrifice and die for humanity? Right? I'm just thinking in my thoughts based on what I read. And Jesus, knowing that he was coming to a fallen world, knowing what he was coming into, praise God, was willing to empty himself of his divinity and all his glory that he had with the Father, so that he could come as a man, as a human, so that he could be the sacrifice, right? So he was obedient to the Father. Amen. A lot of us would think, I don't think so, God. I think I'd rather stay here, you know? But Jesus loved the Father so much that he was willing to sacrifice even. In fact, the love of the Father, I believe, was what motivated him to come. Amen. Yeah. Because as we know, God so loved the world, right? God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if God loved the world, Jesus loved the Father in order to obey the Father, to come into this world and be a sacrifice, knowing that, hey, I'm going to come and die. My purpose as Savior is to literally lay down my life and die. I was born to die, right? I mean, talk about this is my purpose. Yet he came. And because of that obedience, the Bible says, as we just read, God has multiplied his greatness and now has been given the greatest name of all. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? In verse 10, the authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name. I have, you have. Amen. And it's not a forceful submission. It was a yielding submission. Lord, I yield myself. I submit myself. And it's something that we do every day. We have to do every day in submitting. Although we submitted our life to Christ, right? He became our Lord and Savior. It's something as believers we have to do every day in submitting ourselves to the will of God. Because we know that this human nature within us always wants to do his or her own thing. Yeah, right? It's that inward inclination within us, the human nature, that crooked path, always want to do the opposite of what God wants for you. So just as Jesus submitted himself to the Father, we also have to submit to him on a daily basis. Because being honest, right? We have to be honest that sometimes we don't. Right? We don't. We all do it. But it's a submitting to God. God, I'm willing today to submit my will to you. I'm submitting my will. You are my Lord. You are my master. And I'm submitting my will to you. Whatever you want me to do, help me, Holy Spirit. Right? Everything and everyone will someday submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. So he has been given the highest name or position in heaven. There's no higher than, how many of you ever went to a store and wanted to make a complaint and you're talking to the clerk and you say, can I speak to the manager? Right? What you're saying is, I want somebody a little bit higher than you. Right? But how many of you know when you call on the name of Jesus, that's the highest you can go? Yeah. You know, the Father has lifted Jesus to the highest position of the universe. Talking about having friends in high places. Right? We all have friends. We have a friend in a high place, the highest position. Praise God. And the wonderful thing is, he sits in this place of position on the right hand of the Father. Predominantly, the right hand is significant of authority, the right hand. How many of you know God's right-handed?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are in Christ, which you are, right? If anyone be in Christ, relationship, communion, fellowship, you're in Christ, you become a new creation, right? Old things pass away, behold, all things become brand new. So if you are in Christ, guess what? If Christ is seated in the highest position on the right hand of the Father, guess where your position is? Huh? Guess where your authority is? Amen. You are in Christ. You are seated in that same place of high, you know, far above all principalities, right? All powers and all principalities, by which every enemy has been made a footstool under your feet. Amen. So you are above the circumstances. Isn't that a wonderful view? Seated in Christ. You know, it's all about perspective. How you see yourself based on the Word of God. You know, you probably hear a lot of illustrations of our little girl, our daughter, granddaughter. But she crawls. I mean, she's like a bullet. I was going to say babish. You never hear that word for a long time, yeah? Harold, babish. It's like a cockroach. I mean, she's choo-choo-choo-choo. I mean, she's quick. And, you know, when I come down, she'll see me, and then she'll crawl right by my feet, and then she'll climb up by my feet and go like this. She wants to come up. Her view on the floor is pretty limited. That's all she sees, right? Because she's always looking up at us because we're standing. But when she comes up and Papa picks her up, and Papa picks her up in my arms, she's like, oh, I can see a lot more up here, you know, than down there. And that's how we have to see ourselves in Christ, right? That we're not, the circumstances are not overwhelming us, but we are above the circumstances because we see where we are in Christ, right? In heavenly realms. Because Christ is seated in this high position of authority, and that's where you have to see yourself. And it'll do powerful things in your life, in your prayer time. When you pray from that perspective, this is where I'm praying from. Amen. Right? This is where I declare the word of the Lord from this position. I'm not declaring it from down here, but I'm declaring by faith that I'm in Christ, and this is the way I'm declaring the word of the Lord. Amen. And that's how you need to see yourself. Whatever you're faced with, sickness might come. You know, my position in Christ, I'm declaring sickness. You cannot come and touch this body. It's not that sickness, you're not negating that sickness is real. What you're doing is you're declaring that sickness does not have a right in my body. You know, we're not putting our heads in the sand and says, I'm not sick, you know. But what we're saying is sickness, you do not have a right in this body. And I'm exercising my spiritual authority. Or we have a spiritual sign that says, Kapu.
Ah, like
private property. You are not allowed in this body. You are forbidden. And I'm exercising my authority and saying, you need to go. You need to evict him. You're the landlord. You are the landlord. You are the manager of this temple. So you need to serve notice, an eviction notice, and say, no, don't give him a 30-day. How about an hour right now? You need to go right now. You've been served, so get out now. Thank you very much. Now think about this. Jesus, with his resurrected body, right, is there at the right hand of the Father. His name has all the authority. His name has all the power, all the dignity, all the majesty, and all the glory that Jesus, the person, has. And in this name of Jesus, and it has been given to us for us to use, right? Now, in the book of Acts, verses 1 through 8, you can turn there. I thought this was really appropriate in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And it was 3 in the afternoon. And it says, now a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. A crippled man from birth. I think if you look at Acts chapter 4, verse 22, you'll see that this crippled man was in this condition for 40 years, right? For 40 years, he was in this condition. He was born crippled. I don't know how often that they would bring him to the, every day, but I don't know what time of his life that he was, but probably every day. And the Bible says that he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Look at us. You know, I can just sense and feel the authority in Peter's voice. Look on us. This man was looking for something. He was looking for money. And Peter says, look on us. Peter knew what he had. And I think a lot of the church Christians probably was probably in, if they were in that same scenario, they'd probably walk by and say, don't look at me, right? Because I don't have nothing to give you, right? So we would just walk by. But Peter says, look at me, look at us. So the man gave them his attention. He says, wow, maybe I'll get some money. Expecting to get something from them. Notice that, expecting. Without him realizing, he was setting himself up for a miracle. How many of you know expectation sets you up for a miracle? Because he was expecting something. He didn't know what it was, but he was in that place of expectation. Amen. And that's the thing, you know, as believers, you know, if you believe this word and you're expecting, you know, a miracle, or you're expecting a financial breakthrough, and you're believing and you're setting your faith and you're doing whatever the word says, then it's going to come to you. But if we're just doing things just out of repetition, and just like Brother Terry says, you know, we just throw in our money. We don't pray over our tithes and offering. We don't declare the word of God, you know. Then we're not really expecting anything in return. Amen. You know, God always does his part, right? But we have a part to play in our harvest or whatever it is. We have a part. We ought to believe and expect. If I sow, I believe, and I expect to have a harvest. right? But if we're not expecting a harvest, then, you know, you cannot look and say, wow, why are things not happening? Well, because you're not expecting to receive those things. But this man put him his, he positioned himself to receive a miracle, and he didn't even know it. And he was expecting to receive something from them. Then notice Peter says this in verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Notice that. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now you're talking about 40 years that this man has not walked. His ankles became strong, his feet became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began, notice that, he began to walk. He didn't start walking, he began to walk. So he had to exercise his faith as well. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking. Now he's walking, now he's jumping, and praising God for it. Amen. Wouldn't you praise God if you haven't walked for 40 years? Wouldn't you praise God when God brings your financial breakthrough? Amen. That's the automatic response. When God fulfills his word, we as people of God ought to praise him, right? Now, I was thinking about this, whether we realize it or not, the truth is, how many of you know that unbelievers are looking to you as a Christian? They're looking up to you, whether you realize it or not. They're looking for answers. As Pastor Carol prayed this morning, that we have the divine genius living inside of us. We have the eternal life. Because we received eternal life. We have eternal promises that family members, that co-workers do not have. And you know, they might not seem interested, but yet they are when it comes to eternal things. Because put yourself in their place. You were there at one time, but you came to the point of your life that you began to seek answers and questions about life in itself, about eternity, right? And now you're here. You receive Jesus and you receive eternal life. Amen. And the world is looking, unbelievers are looking to us as believers, Christians, because we have something to give them as the body of Christ, right? You know, every one of us has been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was not just given to you so that you can shandai, right? But he was given to you to help you, to guide you, to empower you, to anoint you for the service of the kingdom. Amen. God says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And he fulfilled his promise by placing his Holy Spirit inside of each and every one of us. Amen. We don't have to look on the outside for God. God is living on the inside of you. I mean, he's God. He figured out how he can place himself inside human beings such as you. Amen. It took a while, but he already had the master plan. So the world is looking to us as Christians because every one of us have been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, and every one of you have a gift that exactly fits the needs of the world, whether you realize it or not. Yeah, you do. And that gift is not silver or gold. It's not to do with material wealth. But it's much valuable than that. It's the name of Jesus. Because it's the name of Jesus that gets people saved. Amen. It's the name of Jesus that gives us access into God's kingdom. It's the name of Jesus that backs off the demons, the devils. You know, I had a coworker. You know, when I used to work at a particular place, he says, you know, we're talking and he's not saved. He's not a believer. And he'll say, you know, Herman, my mom's been experiencing these things in her body. But it's not, he was saying, it's not, we cannot figure it out. You know, she goes to the doctor, but the doctor cannot find anything wrong with her. But we think it's something to do with spiritual things, you know? And I says, yeah, could be demons, you know, that is, harassing her. He said, yeah, that could be it. And I says, you know, you can exercise your authority in Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mom. So I said, let's pray for your mom, you know, because this is not the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, right? They are spiritual weapons that we have. And one of the weapons is the name of Jesus. So we prayed for the mom. We plead the blood of Jesus over her. We say that the Holy Spirit just flood that house with your presence. And then I didn't see him for a while. And then one day I saw him. I said, hey, how's things with your mom? He says, she's good. She's great. She's well. So each one of us have been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've been given a gift that fits the world. God give us boldness to be able to share what we have. Amen. And therefore, the value that we have is not in temporal things, while the world will find ease with temporal things. It's not silver or gold, but it's much more valuable. It's the name of Jesus. Now look at this account that we just read. Here was a man who was born a cripple. 40 years. His whole life he's never walked, right? And you know, if you look at that physically, this man was born a cripple. We can also say that most of us, most of humanity, was born crippled. Right. We were all born from sin. So we can say we were spiritually crippled. Praise God. You guys follow me? Yeah. Amen. And Jesus comes to make us whole. Right? So therefore, we are no longer crippled. Thank God for Jesus. Now, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit and sends us out. Go ye into all the world. I give you power and authority. Go into all the world to uncripple people. Bring them into a relationship with God. Bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ and uncripple them. Just like Peter and John did. And by using the name of Jesus and knowing the authority and the power of Jesus, that when you go out and do anything for Jesus, for God, for the kingdom, God will never send you out half-cocked, without tools, without the necessary ability to accomplish whatever assignment he gives you. Amen. He sends you out fully loaded. Everybody say, fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Yeah, with everything that you need. The Holy Spirit. Praise God. So that you can uncripple people. Praise the Lord. And here you had a man who was born a cripple. His whole life. Never walked. And suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. He's healed. He's made whole. He's walking. And most of all, he's praising God. That's the result. When somebody who has been crippled all their life begins to walk, but ultimately begins to praise God for that. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the ultimate,
Amen.
Where God gets the glory.
Yes.
But he's able to use each one of you, each one of us, to be able to bring that forth. Right? See, Peter knew what he had and what belonged to him. And that's why he said, look on us. Look at me. It's interesting that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, When you are filled with God, amen, how many of you know the windows of your eye, your eyes are the windows to your soul? That when people look in your eyes, right, they can see Jesus in your life. Yeah. And that's why Peter says, look on us. I'm so full of God. I'm so full of the Holy Ghost. Look on me. I know what I have. And I know what I can give you. In fact, if you read in the book of Acts, the Bible says that people would just lay sick people on the roadway and just wait for Peter's shadow to pass them and they would be healed. That's how much full of God he had. Yeah. Now the church will look at that and go, oh, I wish. It can. It can and it will. Because I believe God is raising up believers. Believers who believe God, who take God at his word. God, if you did it then, you can do it now. Amen. Yeah. How many of you believe that? And not only he can do it now, he can do it through you. He can do it to us. We don't have to wait for a well-known speaker from the mainland to come and exercise miracles. We can do it right now here. The same Jesus. Amen. Don't ever set yourself short by relating to those things. Oh, we're in Hawaii and we're limited. No. God's unlimited. He's an unlimited God. Only you and I can limit him of what he wants to do to each and every one of us. So Peter knew what he had and what belonged to him. And when he fastened his eyes on the crippled man, and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice that. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It was not in a creed. It was not in a doctrine. It was not in a denomination. It was not in the name of the Pope. It wasn't in the name of the Dalai Lama or Gandhi or Muhammad or Mary. It was in the name of Jesus. Let us be clear about that. The Amplified Translation says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the use of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Walk. If you are born again believer, blood bought, Holy Ghost sought, angel sought, Holy Ghost taught, you have the right and the privilege in using his name. You know, there's always the naysayers. Well, Pastor, Peter and John were the apostles. These guys walked with Jesus. I mean, the apostles had that kind of power to get the church started. And when the last apostle died, all of that stopped. Say that again. Say that again. Nay. No. You know, it's amazing how the devil has fooled denominations, Pentecostals as well, into believing this lie. See, as long as you don't know it, he'll continue to dominate you. Amen. So he has fooled the church world. See, the devil doesn't care about how religious we get, as long as you don't have any power. He doesn't care how spiritual you get as long as you don't tap into the name of Jesus. Amen. See, he doesn't want you to know the authority and the power that you have inside of you already. You're not trying to get the power and authority. You have it already. You have him. Excuse me. He's not a it. You have him inside of you. Amen. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, right? We talked about this. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, right? Your tongues is the actual evidence that there is someone greater who is living inside of you. It's to remind you, oh, that's right. Tongues is the evidence of being infilled with the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times we pray without that, having that, you know, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost knowing that this is what I'm doing. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, my spirit is praying. My mind is unfruitful because my spirit is bypassing my mind and going directly to God, right? Because he who prays in an unknown tongue prays unto God, right? Not unto men, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh divine truth. So when I'm praying in tongues, I'm having heavenly conversations with my Father. And at the same time, I'm thinking about these things, what I am doing. Don't just pray in tongues and just go for it. Think about these scriptures. What am I doing this very moment? I'm communicating with God. God and myself are having a conversation, a heavenly dialogue in our heavenly language. And what's happening? Divine secrets are being revealed in my heart. The Holy Spirit is revealing these things. The plan of God, the finances, the direction, our families, all of these he's revealing when you pray much in the Holy Spirit, right? So pray with the understanding. That's what Paul says. When you pray in tongues, pray with the understanding of what you are doing. Amen. And I tell you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. See, the devil doesn't care how spiritual we get as long as we don't tap into that name. Because he doesn't want you to know the authority and the power that you already have inside of you. He doesn't want you to get into a real relationship with the man called Jesus. Because when that happens, he trembles. When a person really knows what the name of Jesus can do for them, he trembles. Amen. When you begin to exercise your authority in Jesus' name, I mean, hell goes on red alert, right? We have this thing in the United States, yeah? Different levels. Well, when the devil realizes that you know your authority in the name of Jesus, all hell goes into red alert. Amen. Uh-oh. One of those Christians are awake and they're exercising their authority, right? Just like that demon said to the sons of Sceva, Jesus we know, Paul we know, Marie we know. She's laughing because I had to stop. I said it right? Yeah. I would always call her Maria. And then one of our prayer times said, Pastor, it's not Maria, it's Marie. Okay. All right. So you saw me hesitate. That's why I hesitate. My mind was going, choo-choo-choo-choo. But yeah, he knows that you, when you get up, is one of those Christians who know their authority in Jesus. And that's what we want. We are never on the retreat as people of God. Amen. We are always in a forward motion. Yeah, we are always moving forward. It's all about gaining ground, not losing ground. And the ground that we gain, whether it's this territory, spiritual authority over this community, we're going to keep it. It's not going to be like the Vietnam War, where the American troops gathered locations and then they gave it up back to the enemy. It was one of those flip-flop things. Gain ground, lose ground. Gain ground, lose ground. No. We're going to gain ground and we're going to keep it and keep moving forward and gaining more ground. And we declare that this island will be saved for Jesus Christ and this state. Yeah. How can you make a statement like that? Because you know what you have in Christ, and you know what God can do, because it's our move, church. It's our move. We've been waiting on God, and God says, I've been waiting on you, because it's our move to move forward. Amen. Remember that message, Brother Terry? See, the devil doesn't want Christians finding out about this name. He's afraid of the name. He's afraid. In fact, was it Terry was telling us when the last time they came that he did one of those crusades and he purposely used other names for healing? Oh, Brother Shamrock? Yeah, Brother Shamrock. You know, he had a crusade and he says, anyone who needs healing, I'm going to pray in the name of Allah and let's see what happens. And nothing happens. And I'm going to pray in the name of Muhammad. And nothing happens. And he went on and on and he says, okay, now I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. The name that produces miracles and healings, notable signs, wonders, and miracles. And he prayed in the name of Jesus and miracles just started to happen. It was just to show that there's no life in all these other names, but only the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. See, the devil is afraid of that name because he knows. Everybody say, he knows.
He knows.
And he's afraid now because you know that he knows. That Jesus completely defeated and conquered him. And he knows that the name is just as powerful as the person of Jesus. When you use that name, it's as if Jesus himself is there with you, enforcing the name of Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord, for giving us Jesus to the church and to the body of Christ. And Father, we just continue to ask, Holy Spirit, that you continually give us revelation and perspective, heavenly perspective, that you identify ourselves in Christ in the name of Jesus. And therefore, Lord, we thank you that you said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said, if thou wilt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead, that you would confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ died and was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's through that name that all receive salvation. It's through your name, Lord, that we all receive healing as well. All heaven bows to the name of Jesus. All the earth bows to the name of Jesus. And all the demons in hell bows to the name of Jesus. Because he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. And Father, we thank you that you have given us the church his name. That his name belongs to each and every one of us. Oh, Jesus, what a wonderful name. What a precious name. We love you, Jesus.